Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down.
Our guest this week grew up in Farmington Hills and earned a BS in Business Administration from Marquette and a Master's in Hospital and Health Administration from Xavier University. From 1993 to 2019, she held several leadership roles with the Detroit Medical Center, including being the CEO of Children's Hospital of Michigan. And since 2020, she's been the Chief Operating Officer of Michigan Medicine's C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. And she just became the Chair of the Board of Trustees for the Children's Foundation. A busy lady. Her name, Luann Ewald. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible, a News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to the Chief Operating Officer of Michigan Medicine's C.S. Mott Children's Hospital, Luann Ewald. Luann, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you so much for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Of course. I grew up in Farmington Hills, Michigan. It was my parents and my brother and I, my younger brother, Brian, and I. And I grew up where my mom currently still lives, right up the street from Mercy High School. So I would pass Mercy High School my entire childhood, and my parents would always say, that's where you're going to high school. And so I just had a wonderful, wonderful childhood with friends and fun and activities and sports, and went to Our Lady of Sorrows Catholic School for grade school, and then, as planned, went to Mercy High School for 4 years, which I absolutely loved and cherished and continue to be a huge supporter of that school. My own two daughters went there as well. My youngest just graduated from there this year. So it made a huge impact on me and my life. And I wanted my daughters to have the same impact. So that's me through high school. I had a lot of amazing mentors at Mercy High School. One was Sister Nancy Thompson. She was the president at the time that I was there. And she really helped with my development. And I consider her a mentor to this day. It was my second week of high school. And she asked me, are you going to run to be a class officer? And I said, well, I hadn't thought about it. I don't think so. And she said, I really think you should. And I said, well, why? And she said, I see you when you're walking down the halls, you're smiling, you're greeting everyone, you're asking everyone what's going on, what's happening, how's your day? And she said, I think you have the leadership qualities for that role. And so she sort of pushed me into an area where I wasn't even thinking. And I talk about that all the time when I'm speaking to high school students or college students or early careerists, you know, to listen to people who are trying to push you out of your comfort zone.
You're known as an advocate for children and women's health. Where did you get that passion from?
Well, that's so interesting as well. I wanted, when I left Mercy, my plan was I was going to be a pediatrician. And then I got to Marquette University in Milwaukee and I realized, oh my gosh, I don't really like the science component of this. So it's very difficult to be a pediatrician without having that passion for science. So I tried to figure out, okay, well, now what do I do? So now what's my life plan? And as luck would have it, I lived in an all-girls dorm called O'Donnell my freshman year. And right across the street from O'Donnell was, at the time, it was Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And so I would leave my dorm every day and walk by and just, you know, try to peek in and say, what is going on in there? What is a children's hospital? Who runs a children's hospital? And so that really sparked my interest. But then I fast forwarded to junior year and I still didn't have a plan. And so I went into the assistant dean of the business school, because I had enrolled in the business school at the time, not knowing what I was going to do. So I went and talked to, his name was Joe Tarian. And I said, Mr. Tarian, if I don't figure out like what I'm going to do with my life, my parents have just spent a lot of money on tuition, and I don't have a plan. And so it was a crucial conversation that he had with me for about a half hour and said, well, what do you like? What are you interested in? And I said, well, you know, and I told him that how I walked by Children's Hospital of Wisconsin 2 years prior. And I was just very curious as to how a hospital functioned and specifically how a children's hospital functioned. And he said, well, you know, there are master's programs in hospital administration. I said, well, I didn't know that. At 20 years old, I didn't know that. And he said, there's a wonderful master's program at Xavier University in Cincinnati. I suggest you grab your roommates and rent a car and drive to Cincinnati and go meet with the dean there. And that's exactly what I did. And so I talked to the dean and said, this is what I'm interested in. And he said, this is the right place for you. And I applied and I got in. And so while I was at Xavier doing my master's, I volunteered at Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. And I rocked the babies from midnight till 4 a.m. So I would, you know, leave going out with my friends, drive to Children's Hospital of Cincinnati, and I rocked and cradled and fed and read to babies in the nursery. So that was my first, entrance into a children's hospital. And I remember I was just so excited to be able to walk into those doors, even at midnight.
We're talking to Lou Anywald. And 30 years later, she's still rocking and listening to now doctors, nurses, moms and dads, administration, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Lou Anywald. And in 1993, she joined the DMC and got paid for it. She was there 27 years. A lot of changes at the DMC. Luann, talk about the DMC, if you will.
Yeah, I, again, as luck would have it, I was interviewing as part of my master's program. I had to do an administrative fellowship. And so I was interviewing at children's hospitals across the country. And as luck would have it, Tom Rozak was the CEO of Children's Hospital of Michigan at the time. And he was a graduate of the Xavier University program. So Xavier said, have you talked to the CEO at Children's Hospital of Michigan? And I said, I have not, but would, you know, obviously love to return home. And so I went and interviewed with Tom and his team at the time, and they hired me. And so I started as an administrative fellow at Children's Hospital of Michigan, where I learned all about children's hospitals and administration and, you know, the importance of relationships and doctors and nurses and patient experience, and spent a couple years there. And then I went into the marketing department at the Detroit Medical Center and really focused on children's and women's health and marketing. And then I had a unique opportunity to work at Hutzel Women's Hospital, where they had a multi-million dollar NIH grant where they needed help enrolling women in the community into this study, because it was called the Women's Health Initiative. And what that study did, it was really the first a major study really, really focusing on women's health and women's heart and women's diets. And so I spent a couple of years recruiting women into that study and, you know, administering that grant. And it was extremely fun. But then, you know, every couple of years, a new opportunity appeared. And I had the opportunity to, you know, go back to DMC Corporate and work on some as chief of staff to the CEO. And I loved that job. I say that was one of my favorite jobs. Really working very closely with the CEO at the Detroit Medical Center, David Campbell, and, you know, just had fun for a while doing that. And then I became the vice president of business development and marketing for the Detroit Medical Center. And then as, again, a couple of years later, as luck would have it, I was asked to come back to Children's Hospital to be the vice president of business development for almost 12 years. And, you know, just had a ball at that time, really opening a lot of the ambulatory sites throughout Southeast Michigan. And, you know, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And, you know, as you know, ended my time there as CEO. And, you know, Children's Hospital Michigan is a jewel in this community and continues to be so. So, just a wonderful, wonderful first 27 years of my career. I wouldn't have changed any of it.
So we're talking to Luanne Ewald, and she was the CEO of Children's Hospital of Michigan from 2016 to 2019. Luanne, if you would, talk to us about the 135-year organization we know as Children's Hospital of Michigan.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's such a special place. And you know, my favorite story is, you know, 135 years ago, there were, you know, 12 women in the city of Detroit who felt and believed that children deserve to be cared for in their own place and in a better manner. So they saw a lot of children dying in homes. And I love that story that these 12 women had the power and the grit and the guts to say our kids in this community deserve better. And that really has carried through as the foundation of the hospital for all of these years. And, you know, really serving the community and making sure that kids have everything they need from a health perspective and a wellness perspective to make sure that they're thriving. And as I said, it is such a community jewel. And, you know, so many influential physicians and nurses started and stayed at the hospital throughout their careers because it was such a learning, welcoming, family-focused environment.
It consists of 2,000 members, 650 nurses, 450 full-time docs. If you would, Luanne, talk about the vocation we know as nursing.
Oh my gosh. You know, we've heard the word hero, you know, throughout the pandemic, but, you know, our nurses are, they really are angels and heroes. And advocates, the nursing profession has, you know, really delivers the empathy, the clinical skills. You know, one thing that I saw very clearly during the pandemic, you know, there was a lot of visitor restrictions, and in children's hospitals, that is extremely, extremely, the family is a huge part of the care team, right? Moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, we, you know, we have everyone be a part of that care team because they know the child the best. And when we had to have the visitor restrictions, you know, limiting to one parent, that was very difficult on our families. But what happened, you know, beautifully and magically is our nurses really became even more than they usually do, even more a part of these families, because they also served in the role of a family or a family member or someone for, you know, our parents, you know, a shoulder to cry on. And it was just beautiful to see. And, you know, that's really the whole fundamental foundation of the nursing profession. But in times of crisis, you know, you really just see how important and how wonderful the profession of nursing is. And I couldn't be more proud of all of the nurses throughout the entire state of Michigan and everything they're doing to make sure our hospitals are functioning, our patients are being cared for. When we know our workforce is tired, all of our hospitals are at capacity. And I just, you know, I can give a shout out to the nurses everywhere to thank them every single day for what they do.
For the last 25 years, I've been blessed to be able to go to Children's Hospital of Michigan. And every time I walk those halls, what screams out to me, Luann, is love, patience, hope, surrender to God. There's a culture of love at that place. How and why?
You know, again, I think it goes back to, you know, the four founders. I think it goes back to the physicians and the nurses and the staff, you know, and I don't know if everyone knows, but, you know, a pediatric subspecialist, a pediatric specialist physician, they have to do more training and usually get paid less than their adult counterparts, right? So what that has always said to me is that our physicians and our nurses and our care teams are in this profession, are working in a pediatric environment because that's where their heart is and that's where they want to be. And so when you walk into children's hospitals, you feel that. You feel that they are dedicating their entire profession to the child, to the family. And, you know, you feel it. It's within these individuals. It's a calling, and they are living out that calling, and that's what you feel.
We're talking to Luann Ewald, who spent 27 years in Midtown at the Detroit Medical Center. And then in January of 2020, she becomes the COO of C.S. Mott Children's Hospital in Ann Arbor. When we come back, we'll ask her why. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Luann Ewald since January of 2020. She's been the COO of Michigan Medicine C.S. Mott Children's Hospital. 27 years, you're a fixture. They're going to name buildings after you, statues. Why did you go to C.S. Mott?
You know, Jack, in 2019, I turned 50 years old. And at the end of that year, the job became open at University of Michigan. And it's not a job that becomes open frequently. And it really, you know, I was very comfortable at Children's, as you know. You know, they were my family. And I had to, you know, the way I started this conversation at Mercy High School, when Sister Nancy pushed me out of my comfort zone, I had to push myself out of my comfort zone. And I had the opportunity to work at the University of Michigan and not just run the children's hospital, but they were also looking for someone to run their women's hospital. So the opportunity to be able to be at the University of Michigan and run both of these premier programs and premier hospitals, I couldn't look the other way. And so, you know, again, I really had to get out of my comfort zone, and that's what I did. And it was the right decision for me. I started about 10 weeks before COVID hit. And, you know, just getting to know the organization, seeing how the organization worked in crisis, and seeing how the teams came together and the resources came together was really amazing. And about a month after COVID, I got a call on a Sunday night that they wanted me to work on the team from an administrative standpoint and try to open a field hospital in 10 days. So that was April of 2020 when we all saw the numbers increasing. The hospitals were throughout the state were becoming overwhelmed, and we knew we had to prepare for that trend to continue. And so for a couple months, we found the University of Michigan Performance Sports Center, which had a nice large track. I would go there every day, and we would plan to open a 500-bed field hospital. So that was, even though, you know, we were in crisis, that was an exciting, exciting project where, you know, the focus was every morning when the entire team at University of Michigan would huddle in our command center, the message was, we are here to care for the citizens of the state of Michigan. So those are the decisions we're going to make today. And so, you know, being able to prepare to open a field hospital, and we pulled in physicians who had military training, nurses who had FEMA training, and just really recreated, you know, a bare bones hospital setting at a track. And we were 2 days from opening the field hospital, and we saw, thankfully, the COVID numbers start to drop throughout the state. So we never had to open it, but we created a 400-page manual on how to open a field hospital in 10 days should we ever need it for anything in the future. So that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
Speaking about getting out of your comfort zone, 10 weeks into the new job, it hits the pandemic.
Yes.
How did you and your team survive those first 9 months?
You know what, you know, as you know, a lot of the adult hospitals were overrun, and the children's hospitals were not. So, you know, kids were now at home, they were not in school, they were not spreading germs, they weren't breaking bones, playing sports. So what we did a couple months in is really open a COVID ICU within CS Mott Children's Hospital. So that's how the staff and I coped. Our nurses partnered with the pediatric nurses partnered with the adult nurses to provide care on the units. Similarly, with the pediatricians in the hospital partnered with their adult counterparts, and the focus became, you know, we need to care for these COVID patients. We are in crisis. And what we did was we tried to be there for the staff. And at University of Michigan Health, we have an office of wellness and resilience, and we had mental health folks that were available for our staff should they need to talk to someone. We opened, which is amazing, we opened a Zen room for anyone on our team or any family members who may need it. It's just a space within the hospital that's beautifully designed just for them to get away, right? We know the level of stress with no visitors, with our staff having to, you know, they were dealing with their own issues at home in terms of childcare and grandparent care and online schooling. And so, you know, everything that our staff was dealing with, we were just trying to say, as much as you can, please take care of yourself. Let us know how we can help you do that. So that, you know, the team here, we rounded on the floors as often as we could, you know, to make sure the staff felt supported. And anything, you know, everybody sort of threw their titles and roles out the window and said, how can we help? What do you need us to do? Do you need us to get wheelchairs? Do you need us? And to be honest with you, we're doing that today because of the labor force and the short staffing in, you know, throughout healthcare, throughout the nation. You know, everyone's just sort of putting titles and functions aside, saying, what do we need to do to get through today? Can I, you know, can I, you know, serve food? Is there anything I can do to help? So, you know, and that's been lovely to watch as well, that we're, you know, everyone's, you know, taking their hats off and their titles aside and jumping in to make sure the staff feels supported.
For 30 years, starting as a volunteer, just holding babies in the middle of the night, you've been around tens of thousands of sick young children. What have they taught you, Luann?
You know, Jack, people say to me all the time, I don't know how you can work in that environment. I could never work in that environment. And what gets me through every day is that the majority of the children who walk in the doors of a children's hospital, they are healed. They have a care plan. They leave the doors better than when they came in. And for those kids who, unfortunately, that is not the case, I see how our team can also help families through grief. And so there's joy through that as well. So families never feel like they're alone, whether their child, you know, leaves healthy or does not. You know, you see the beauty of humanity through times of sorrow. And you know, that's how I get through the day. And it's what we talked about. It's the hearts of the people that work here. They want to help in good times and in bad. And so that's what these kids and these families have taught me. And, you know, when we see a child who isn't feeling well, but they're smiling and they're resilient and, you know, they handle their own situations probably better than a lot of adults. That's what gives me strength. That's what gets me excited to show up to work every single day is the resilience of these kids.
I've been amazed how often I've talked to someone who has a special needs child, and they come to refer to that child as their hero, their teacher, their angel from God, their inspiration for the whole family.
Yeah.
Luann, how do you explain that?
You know, again, it's, you know, we know these kids are, you know, whether they're going through cancer treatments or, you know, even a broken bone, they're in pain, but they want to be kids and they're loving. And, you know, that's why we try to do everything we can to bring the experience. You know, that's why we have music therapists and art therapists. And we're about to open a music studio so kids can just go into a studio and create music and we can pipe that through the hospital. So just, you know, while they're healing and while they're not feeling well, they're still happy and they're still kids. And so we try to create that environment to, you know, because that joy spreads. The joy of the child spreads to our staff, spreads to our teams. And it all starts with the child.
If you want to learn more, www.mottchildren.org. We're talking to Luann Ewald, who was just named or just became the chair of the board of trustees for the Children's Foundation. And as such, she's my new boss. And I'm here to help, Luann. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Pasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. and Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible. And we're talking to Luann Newell, who had just become the chair of the board of trustees for the Children's Foundation. You got big shoes to fill replacing Matt Friedman, but you're up to the job. You're up to the job. Tell us about the Children's Foundation.
Well, Jack, you know, the Children's Foundation started as the development department within Children's Hospital Michigan for many years, as you know, and branched off into its own Children's Foundation. And really the focus now, while continuing to support Children's Hospital of Michigan, they also focus on children's health for kids throughout the state. So I've had the pleasure of being on the board since 2016, and also during COVID, when I wasn't at the field hospital, they launched a strategic planning process. And I was happy to be the co-chair of that process, really to talk about the future for the foundation. And, you know, one of so many of the major pillars of the foundation is around adolescent mental health, which is so needed and has to be so supported. And we know it's a national problem, but the foundation is really trying to, you know, make an impact in Southeast Michigan for our kids really, really needing these services. So mental health is one area, cancer programs, pediatric cancer programs, and really also focusing on, you know, being statewide advocates for advocacy, for children and health equity, and making sure that kids have what they need to thrive. So, you know, the basics, food, books, transportation, really trying to make a dent in within health equity. So, you know, that's how I have spent my entire career. So this was a natural fit when they reached out, and it is my, you know, honor and privilege. The board is just so strong and is so focused, and there's so much to be done. There was so much to be done before the pandemic, and now that we're still in the pandemic, there's even more to do. And, you know, I think I'm most proud of how quickly the foundation focused on organizations that needed help during the pandemic. And, you know, I think I saw yesterday on social media, you know, almost $7 million this year has been given to organizations in need for various things, you know, for them to keep their operations running, for them to provide support services, psychiatric services for kids. So, you know, there's so much more work to be done throughout the state, but I'm just honored and privileged about the scope and how many kids that this foundation can impact.
If you want to learn more, www.yourchildrenswithanSfoundation.org. If there's a parent tonight that's dealing with a child that's depressed, you know, mental health issues, Luann, what do you say to that parent?
Jack, you know, those numbers of those kinds of kids have just skyrocketed through the pandemic. You know, kids are social beings. And the fact that, you know, we were all in quarantine for so long and isolated and not being in school and not being in sports, we are just seeing those numbers spike. So, you know, what we're trying, and we know every day children's hospitals deal with this, there aren't enough inpatient beds in the state of Michigan. And so we are trying really hard to figure out what that model is for our state, because this is not a CS Mott children's hospital problem. This is not a DeVos children's problem. This is not a Children's Hospital Michigan problem. This is a state problem, and we need to figure out how to care for our kids. You know, I was talking to a community pediatrician last night, and he was getting so many of his patients who were his pediatric patients who were anxious or depressed that, you know, he and his nurses went to a training, and now they're offering a 7-week course out of his office. Right. So we're looking at different models across the country, whether it's a day hospital for kids, so where they get treatment during the day and then can go home at night. We're trying to figure out what that right model is, but because we have to do something. We know parents are frustrated. There are resources in our community, but not enough. So, you know, through the combination of the foundation and the, you know, 130 partners that the foundation has, I know we can come together and try to solve this problem. It is a crisis. Just like COVID-19 was a crisis, our kids having mental health issues, they're in crisis as well. We need to treat it that way.
As our time winds down together, that nun at Mercy saw this young teenage girl with great potential. You're a quintessential team builder, Luann. What's the keys to being a team builder?
You know, Jack, I treat my team as I would treat my family. I know their wives. I know their kids. I know where they go to school. I know what they like to do. And, you know, really putting people around me and me putting myself around the team where there's mutual respect, there's trust. We work hard. We have fun. And those are the kind of people that I like to hire and that I like to have on my team because, you know, we spend a lot of time at work. We spend more time at work than we do at home. So making sure that our employees feel respected, our teams feel respected, that's how I've always built boards, built executive teams, and, you know, built just amazing, amazing teams.
Wendy, well, you're a servant leader of the first degree. You're an angel.
Thank you
for all you do. Please keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall. Believe.